Did you guys enjoy the worship today? Awesome. It's not over. There's more. We're going to close in worship today as well. And so it's phenomenal to have Redeeming Rebels with us and David Paul Martin. And you've got two names of some great guys in the Bible and an awesome guitar. So you're bound to be an anointed worship leader somehow, some way. So no, excellent. Thank you so much for you guys coming from Wisconsin to be with us and being with the Rebels. And we always love having the Redeemed Rebels here. They do such an amazing job. Well, Nick took his four-year-old son, Brian, to several baseball games where the Star Spangled Banner was sung before the start of each game. Later that year, Nick and Brian attended church on the Sunday before Independence Day, and the congregation sang the Star Spangled Banner, and after everyone sat down, little Brian suddenly yelled at the top of his lungs, "Play ball!" So, if your kid does that, we know you've been to a lot of baseball games. We're at a time in our year where we celebrate what? What are we celebrating this week? Freedom! Thank you, William Wallace, wherever you are. Thanks. We're the signing of the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776, right? The 13 colonies claim their independence from England. And many people, you know, we get out the grill and we stock up on food. We invite more people over and hope that they bring better food than we actually put out. And, you know, or maybe someone invites us over. They want to let the kids play, light off some fireworks. If you're in my neighborhood, you don't have to go anywhere. Just go on your front steps and they're all right there. And they're all over the place this year. And maybe you're going somewhere to see the big fireworks. Maybe your celebration includes a reminder of the sacrifices that were made so we could have independence. And as we look at that event, we need to realize that it was a very dangerous decision for each man who put their pen to parchment to sign it. John Adams signed the Declaration of Independence, and as he did, he said, "Whether we live or die, sink or swim, succeed or fail, I stand behind this Declaration of Independence. And if God wills it, I am ready to die in order that this country might experience freedom." And it was that kind of patriotism that led men armed with just hunting rifles to engage in a battle, what was then against the most powerful nation in the world. And this decision to declare their independence from England was not easy. It didn't come quickly. Even though they lived in colonies, they were English citizens, and they felt that they should enjoy the same rights and the privileges that any free-born Englishman enjoyed back in England. So after all, it was their ancestors who a few centuries earlier had risen against the unjust and dictatorial rule of King John, forced him to sign what is called the Magna Carta. It's called the Great Charter is another name for it, establishing the rights of the common man and limiting the power of the king over them. But over a period of a few years, King George began to ignore all that as far as the American colonies were concerned. And it wasn't long until oppressive taxes and regulations were beginning to make their lives miserable. And when they complained, King George sent troops and declared martial law. Public protests were put down by force and dissenting voices were silenced. And more laws, which they considered quote unquote intolerable, were enacted. Some things got out of hand, especially in Boston. One day, a crowd was yelling at a royal tax collector, and he fired a shot at them, and he killed an innocent 11-year-old boy. Another time, a squad of soldiers was trying to break up a crowd of tax protesters, and someone gave the command to fire, and five of the protesters were killed. The news spread quickly about the Boston Massacre. And just 14 months after the Declaration, or before the Declaration of Independence was written, there was an armed conflict that broke out in the Battle of Lexington and Concord between the colonial Minutemen and the British regular army troops. Casualties on both sides that day totaled 366 killed or wounded. Meanwhile, it was during this time of conflict that Patrick Henry, the fiery patriot from Virginia, gave his famous speech before the Virginia Provincial Convention. Here is how he concluded his speech. 3 million armed in the holy cause of liberty and in such a country as that which we possess are invincible by any force which our enemy can send against us. Besides, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destiny of nations and who will raise up friends to fight our battle for us. The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave. Besides, sir, it is now too late to retire from the contest. There is no retreat, but in submission and slavery, our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war has actually begun. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Many of our forefathers paid a terrible price in the Revolutionary War, but finally they won the victory so that you and I might be citizens of the land of the free and the home of the brave, right? But what we often forget is that in declaring their independence from England, our forefathers made an equally bold declaration of dependence upon Almighty God. In the very beginning of our nation, our forefathers boldly declared their dependence upon God, but we weren't the first nation to do that. At another crucial moment in history, as the people of Israel were preparing to enter the land that God had promised them, Moses told them, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God." Deuteronomy 8, 10 and 11. And our founding fathers were careful to remember God. The second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence begins with these words: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Again, the closing of the Declaration solemnly states, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, that is God, that they are saying, "We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." It is important that we remember this clear declaration of dependence upon God. For in a time of a world turmoil that we are in today, it seems that strong efforts are being made not only to ignore, but to absolutely obliterate and eliminate any acknowledgement of the deep and abiding faith of our founding fathers, of what this country is founded on, and of the God who gave this nation its birth and its greatness. And as you read about Patrick Henry and George Washington and John Adams and Thomas Jefferson and John Jay, many of the other patriots who gave themselves so that we might enjoy the freedom that we have, we are reminded of the solemn warning that God gave to another nation, Israel, which was experiencing the thrill of independence after centuries of slavery in Egypt. And it may have been written 3,400 years ago, but this warning is very true for the United States today. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 7, Moses told the people, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing." He continues in verse 10, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you." Ending with verses 11 through 14. Moses warned them. He says, "Beware lest when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine homes and when you settle down, all you have is multiplied. Here is the warning. Then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God." History has made it abundantly clear that not only nations but individuals need to give great attentiveness to that warning. The greatness of a nation is not measured by its military power or national wealth. We have to remember that righteousness and justice are determining factors as well. Solomon, known as one of the wisest men, said, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people," Proverbs 14:34. And what is happening in the United States today? We could go on and on and on about its failures and its crumbling and it's this and it's that. There's good with the bad as well. But to a great extent, our modern goals have become success and status, security, self-indulgence, comfort, pleasures, whatever makes me feel good, whatever I want to do, I have the right to do. Sometimes our proclaimed freedom has become the very thing that enslaves us. In Titus chapter 3, verse 3, Paul says, at one time we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and entangled by all kinds of passions and all kinds of pleasures. And we lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Sound familiar? This is the enslaving and deceiving nature of sin. People who are caught up in sin, they think that they are they're free, but in the reality, they are enslaved. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 8, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit of God control your mind leads to a life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. Verse 8, that's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. The prodigal son came to his father and said, I want to be free. Give me what's mine. I want to take it. I want it now. I don't want to wait. And then he wandered off far into the country. And he says, I'm free. But his freedom was really brief, wasn't it? His friends left him when his money ran out. He found himself enslaved to a Gentile taskmaster. And it was not until he came back to his father that he really experienced freedom. As Christ followers, we have a great freedom, a greater freedom than any constitution could ever possibly grant us. We have the freedom that is offered in Christ Jesus, and we can only experience that when we come back to the Father, and that is God. There's a word for freedom in the New Testament. It is this word, redemption. It's a beautiful word. It's an ugly word. It's a word that is wrapped in pain and discomfort, but it is on the other side. It is a beautiful thing. It means to be set free. It means that we have been bought with a price, that we have been freed of our bondage, and now we are really free. And I've titled the message today, No Freedom Without a Fight. There's no freedom without a fight. Whether it's you're trying to free a hostage, you're trying to free a country, you're trying to free yourself from the bondage of sin, there is no freedom without a fight. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, Jesus Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. And as we celebrate the birth of our nation, pray that our country might have a new birth of freedom, that we would have and that we would experience deep redemption. Not a freedom from God, but freedom built upon God and his word and his commandments. The good news of the gospel is about freedom, freedom from sin and death and hell and the grave. Jesus came to pay the price for our sin. He was sent by his Father. He came to this earth. He lived a perfect life and he died a brutal death. It couldn't just be anyone. It had to be someone that is perfect. Only someone without sin could be that one. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, for God made Christ, who had never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. The ushers are going to begin to pass out communion here. Invite the band to come back. I want you to take a few minutes. I want you to reflect on the ultimate price that was paid for every single one of us. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve the death that Jesus died on the cross, but his grace was sufficient for us. He wanted to. He loved us that much. The sacrifice that was made upon the cross through Jesus. You don't have to be a member of the church to take communion. We just ask that you have a personal relationship with Jesus, because the scripture says that if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, you eat and drink condemnation upon yourself. And we don't want that. So if you don't partake in communion, that's okay. No big deal. We just ask that you have a relationship with Jesus. The band is going to play, and then we're going to come back and pray.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for what these elements represent. The body of Christ that was brutally beaten, that paid a price that no one could possibly even comprehend upon the cross of Calvary, Lord Jesus. And even the time before he even was nailed to that cross for our sins. The Word of God said that he became sin for us. And Lord God, thank you. Thank you for this word redemption. It sounds so good, but it's not easy. The redemption work of the cross through Christ Jesus paid the price for every single one of us. Lord God, because of the broken body of Jesus and because of the blood that was spilled, Lord God, we pray over these elements, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we remember, Lord, let us never forget until our time comes to spend with you for eternity, Lord Jesus, what each of these represent, the sacrifice, the freedom, the redemption that is all because of the cross of Calvary. And Lord God, we thank you for it in your holy and wonderful name. And the church said, amen and amen. You may partake of the bread. Service with a few more songs. So we encourage you, stand to your feet. What an amazing time to worship God right after communion. Amen. Let it be your cry of your heart today, thanking the Lord for our freedoms, for his redemption work upon the cross.
When you do what only you can do. It changes us, it changes what we see, and what we see.
Jesus died, my soul to save.
still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. He washed me white as snow. Give him praise. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raise this life up from the dead. Yes, God. Lord, you paid it all. Our debt of sin, the rent that we owed, you have paid it. And we are free, not just free from sin, but free to live for you, God. Free to give you our burdens. Free to confess. Free to cry out, free to respond to your goodness, to your gospel, that you save us. And we're going to sing about that. That we were, as Ephesians 2 says, we were dead in sin, but by God's mercy, he has made us alive in Christ. Can you say that with me? Alive in Christ.
Hey, before you leave today, can you give it up one more time for these guys? Man. So good. So good. This is actually, if you don't know, this is Redeeming Rebels and David Paul Martin Band, right? And so it's two bands combined as one. So we just got like a double blessing blast, man, today. And so good. You can purchase one of their albums back in the multipurpose room, the Redeeming Rebels album and the Walk Deep album. And David Paul Martin's got a new album coming out soon. And you can grab one of his business cards and keep up with that and keep up with what's going on with these guys out of Wisconsin. Right? And so we're so appreciative that they were able to be here with us. Thanks to Jake and Redeeming Rebels putting that all together. And so be blessed. Have a great day in the Lord. Have a happy 4th of July and be safe and just remember and keep talking about God's redemption in our lives and what he's done for each and every single one of us. Have a great week.